Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Good morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Morning Drive. His name is Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. And Munson is back there behind the glass. And it is a Friday, and it's 2020. I feel like my body and my mind are finally starting to line back up again in some semblance of normalcy. My body clock is back to Fridays at 6 a.m. I think that's what time it is, and I think it's 2020. And I think there's a Titans playoff game coming up this weekend. I think the Tennessee Volunteers got a win in a bowl game in basically a 0% chance to win the game. The Preds have a couple of games tonight. I think all of this is true. Do I need a second source to confirm all of this stuff? Because it did feel like Tuesday in 2018 yesterday, and now it feels like Friday in 2020 today. Is your body back to normal, Derek?
Yeah, it's back to normal.
All right.
My mind's telling me no.
My body's telling me yeah. But see, did you say
Preds? Derek never says no to that, Marquise. never says no.
Did you say Preds tonight?
No, I said two over the weekend.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Hopefully, that's what I said.
Just making sure. Tomorrow.
No, they're playing Saturday and Sunday night. In fact, when you're riding home after you're watching your Titans somewhere at some watch party somewhere, You can just pop on old Pete and Hal on the way home. They got a 9:30 start time tomorrow night out there late against the Kings and the Ducks this weekend. So another huge two games for the Preds, and obviously we'll wake up Monday morning and come in here with lots to discuss about the Tennessee Titans, obviously. But the Preds, obviously, with a huge couple of games, they need to get some points. The Titans are obviously in a huge game as well. I'm going to continue to add the word obviously, apparently, to every sentence that I say. The Tennessee Volunteers, though, however, yesterday get a I'm not going to call it a huge win, because here's how I think it should be taken. And Tennessee fans, shut up. I don't care. All right. It's Friday. It's 6:03. I'm already ready. I'm already pissed off for greatness. The Tennessee Vol fans, celebrate last night. You should celebrate last night. You shouldn't. It was an incredibly entertaining fourth quarter. It was a national spotlight game where the entire college football world was watching you. And outside of really inconsistent running game and some poor quarterback play, you didn't really do much at all to win the football game. But you did in extremely dramatic and exciting fashion. You get the onside kick, and you score two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes and 30-second span. And I heard our very own D-Maze,
yes,
Jason Fitz, say this on Golic and Wingo this morning, that teams in college football this year, when trailing by 13 points or more with 5 minutes to go, are 0 for 471.
Not anymore.
471 times a team in college football was facing the scenario the Tennessee Volunteers were facing last night, and not a damn one of them won that game. Now, what I do not want to hear, and I know we're going to hear it for the next 7 months, Derek, and that is that the hype train will be out of control on the Tennessee Volunteers.
Like the lane train.
Because they recovered an onside kick and defied all odds last night. It was a great win. You should celebrate the great win. You've now won six straight heading into the offseason, and be excited about it. But we told you yesterday that not this outcome of this game. I tried to tell you guys yesterday, remember? I prepared Tennessee fans for a bad showing. I said, don't take it too seriously. It's not that big a deal. Whether you win or lose, it's not that big a deal. Get those young players some reps. J.J. Peterson's in there. Get those young guys some reps. It was a great win. It was a great night. Tennessee fans should celebrate and enjoy it, but you got to move on quickly, because a bowl win, because you recovered an onside kick and Indiana missed an extra point, does not mean you're going to win the SEC championship next year. So I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. I'm just trying to be a realist. Great win, great fun, great drama. Enjoy it. Move on quickly.
Hey, we got what we thought we were sort of kind of going to get between these two teams. I thought they, going into the game, I thought this was two teams that were evenly matched. I think the bowl committee did a good job at putting these two teams together.
You mean the Tennessee Boosters?
Yeah, exactly. at putting this game together, because these are two evenly matched teams. If you just go down, you know, you look at everything with these teams as far as numbers, quarterback, running back, receivers, how the defense play. These two teams were evenly matched, so. You're not surprised that you got a game that you got the game that you got. Maybe not the, you know, ending that you thought it would have been, but you got a close game. And listen, we said yesterday, win or lose, it really doesn't matter. But how does the team, you know, play? Do they get beat by 3 points, or do they get beat by 23 points?
It wasn't pretty until the end.
Yeah, that means something. They didn't. They kept fighting. You know, and they got some things to go their way. They put themselves in a position at the end of the game to be able to get an onside kick and score. You know, and maybe, just maybe, the little orange man was on their side this
the
game.
The little orange man?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know. I could just picture a little orange man looking like Keese. I mean, looking like Munson.
Oh.
No, looking
what,
like
which
Keese.
Which one is it, Keese?
This is looking like Keese, yeah, because
he's been drinking. Yeah, after about 2 hours on Broadway, he turns into the little orange man.
Exactly. And he's just sitting there on the goalpost or sitting on the 50-yard line, chilling, you know, just in the middle of the field.
Does he have a weird hat and, like, boots on, too, like a leprechaun?
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing he has me like an orange leprechaun character.
Or the elf on the shelf. You're like an orange elf on the shelf.
He's like...
He basically said, I'm a black man with an orange beard that just sits on the goalpost.
So you're like Lucky
Smith.
You are
a black leprechaun. That's what you are. What you did was you were just sitting there like, ha, 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 ha. And as they kick the onside kick, you kind of tap the ball a little bit.
He goes, and it bounces the other direction. Well, when you stand next to Ricky and Chase, y'all look like a little orange man. I mean, those are two large humans. Listen, you got to, like, again, like, this is. You know, our jobs are to tell you how it is, and I'm sorry, as a Tennessee alum, this performance last night does not get me any more or less excited about next season. You should be more excited about next season because Jeremy Pruitt proved that he can turn this team around from a 1-4 start to win 5 straight games to finish 7-5. You should be excited about this team for next season because Jeremy Pruitt's recruiting class as a bunch of freshmen looked like they all hit last year. Mm-hmm. Eric Gray, Henry Toto, the two offensive linemen, you know, you go down the list. McCullough has played a ton this year. You go down the list of guys in the last two classes that are playing meaningful minutes for this team and the turnaround, those are real, genuine, hard, concrete reasons to be excited about the future of Tennessee football.
Mm-hmm.
The win last night is something to be excited about last night.
Yeah.
You cannot.
You got a chance to party. That's all.
Party it up and have a great time, take shots, whatever you want to do. That's fine. But don't tell me all offseason that because you recovered an onside kick in an 0-for-471 situation and won a game, that that's the reason they're going to be good next year. Again, I will present evidence to the court. Little orange man back there behind the glass and Derek Mason, you will be the judge. Sorry, Munson. He just gave you that name for the rest of the show, man. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
It's not my fault I didn't do it. Don't blame me.
My mic's orange, too,
but don't blame me. But here's the deal. Case in point, Butch Jones went 3-0 in bowl games. If it was that easy to win bowl games, everybody would be doing it. Number one, Tennessee. I told you guys all this yesterday. Tennessee destroyed Iowa in the Tax Slayer Bowl in this exact game. Iowa went on the next year after getting pummeled. They went on to be 12-0, and Tennessee came back and went 8-4. Then Tennessee comes back, and they beat Northwestern in a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And they pummel Northwestern in the Outback Bowl. They come back the next year, and Tennessee is the preseason favorite to win the division. First place pick in the SEC East, mm-hmm, falls flat on its face. Then they beat Nebraska pretty handily in a bowl game, pretty easily, made it look easy in the Music City Bowl. They come back the next year and they have the worst season in the history of Tennessee football. So you get what I'm you see what I'm driving at here, which is these bowl results don't indicate anything moving forward. So again, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer or rain on your Tax Slayer Gator Bowl parade. It was a great, dramatic, fun, exciting win last night. Enjoy it for what it was. But don't be excited about next year because of what happened last night. I think that's short-sighted.
Well, I think some people are going to be that way. That's just the way it is. They're going to look at it and say, well, we finished 8-5. We, you know,
Which looks good on paper.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We went out and we got a lot of these guys returning back from next year. We went out with a 5-game winning streak and winning, you know, 6 out of the last 7 games of the season before, you know, after losing to Florida and Georgia. This is what they're going to look at, and they're going to say, well, the bowl game was the cherry on top. We capped it off, and, you know, we got to 8 wins, and no one predicted 8 wins. And, you know, that's how Vol fans are going to look at it. Rightfully so, but I don't want
– Also, it was 55 minutes of football where you were down 22-9.
I don't put all your stock into – how the game ended in the bowl game. I think if you're going to take that position, then say we won, you know, 5 or 6 of our last 7 games or 5 of the last 6 games. That's what we did, not including the bowl game. So I think if you're going to take that stance, take the stance of you guys won enough games to get yourself into the bowl, you know, the bowl season. That's the stands I believe you got to take.
That's what's super important, is that you got 15 extra practices, mm-hmm. that you had a trip to a Florida bowl game where you got to sell it to recruits and parents and fans and student-athletes and say, hey, look at this fun thing we get to go do, and it helps with recruiting. And I mean, let's be honest. Jared Garantano had 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, wasn't very efficient. They couldn't run the ball consistently last night. So let's not look at the game and actually analyze the gameplay, because if you want to do that – I'm sorry, Indiana looked like the better team for 90% of the game. So they came out strongly last night, and they had a couple of drives, I think 3 straight drives into the red zone. You know, he went for it on 4th down, which I don't think he would have done in a normal game situation. Then he kicks 2 field goals. So they, you know, 3 trips into the red zone, end up with 6 total points. So again, I don't even like analyzing the actual game, because I don't think – I'm seeing on Twitter, like, Jared Garantano gets benched for Brian Maurer for 1 series, and, like, Twitter loses its mind. Like, oh, what's the future of the quarterback situation going to be? And I immediately was like, guys, Jared Garantano is the starting quarterback next year. Yeah. This guy's clearly statistically the best player on the team at that position this year, and he's going to be a veteran. You're going to – unless Harrison Bailey, the true freshman, is just Bo Nix level of good, mm-hmm. or Brian Maurer takes this monumental leap forward in the offseason, Jared Garantano is your starting quarterback. And, oh, by the way, he's going to have to break in a whole new set of receivers.
Yes.
Because Dominic Wood Anderson is gone. Marquez Callaway is gone. Juwan Jennings is gone. They're going to need to find dudes. And so I think there's plenty of reasons to be excited about this team. A lot of really good reasons to be excited about this team. None of them are the fact that you were covered an onside kick last night and did something so improbable that nobody in almost 500 tries had accomplished it. And again, I know this sounds harsh right out of the gate, 6 a.m. on a Friday morning after a win, but I just want to prepare people that the freight train of expectations has left the station in Knoxville. It is going to be out of control, and they are probably going to be overvalued in the preseason once again. We shall see. What should expectations be for the Tennessee Volunteer Program in 2020? We'll get to that. There's a huge decision looming in the SEC as well. I know we've got Titans and Patriots to get to. We're going to spend almost every single minute of the show on that. But I did want to address what took place last night and what should expectations be. Josh Ward's going to join us. We'll wrap up Tennessee Volunteer football for 2019, and we're off and running here on a Friday. I feel very refreshed now, because I feel like it's a Tuesday, but it's Friday, and you know what? Bowl games, the outcomes don't matter. So just at me on Twitter.
I feel like a cold lemonade on a hot summer day.
Why?
Just sitting there.
It's very cold and rainy outside.
I'm on a stoop, I'm that glass of cold lemonade with ice.
So you're just chilling.
And that condensation is just dripping.
Just chilling. Yeah, well, now you're making chilling. Now you're making it all like
just chilling,
romantic.
But you know how weird. That's how it is when they show the commercial.
Yeah, like. Yeah. Like the super close up,
exactly.
And like the one bead of condensation rolls down, and you're
and
all
the
like,
lemon is perfect.
And we're all like, oh, come on. I don't have any lemonade in the house. And I'm sure as hell not getting off this couch to go get some. All right, Tennessee expectations and a huge decision in the SEC. We'll discuss when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Oh, Vols fans are already missing the point. This is what I have to deal with, Derek and Marquise. This is what I have to deal with Tennessee fans.
They funky monkeys, man.
Yeah, they just don't get it. Let me repeat myself. Last night was a fantastic moment for you to celebrate and enjoy winning in a very rare situation and a very improbable comeback. It is an exceptional, fun thing to celebrate. Take shots and chest bump and act like raging lunatics if you want to. It is fun, and celebrate it and have a good time. But coming back from a 22-9 deficit in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl against Indiana in an improbable onside kick situation is not the reason to think Tennessee is going to be good at football next year. Mm-hmm. There are a million other reasons you should be excited about Tennessee football next year.
They didn't hear that part.
How many times do I have to say this? There are so many reasons to be optimistic about Tennessee football next year. Lots of them.
Do I need to rattle
off the list again?
You know what was happening when you were talking and you said that? They just started saying, oh, here Brayden go again. Oh, oh. And as you were saying, you know, Henry they Toto and
yes.
these. They didn't hear all that because they were screaming.
Eric Gray is going to be a fantastic player.
They basically turned the radio down as you were explaining and then yelling at you through the radio.
Absolutely. That's what they were doing.
Well, no, they had to just pull over to the side of the road to send all their mean tweets to me, you know, which is fine. I'm fine. I welcome it. I bathe in your tweets because I get stronger when you tweet at me like that.
Bathe in your anger.
Yeah,
it's like
get stronger.
It's like a Vols gremlin pretty much. Exactly.
If you pour your negative tweets all over me, I get bigger and stronger and angrier. Okay. That's how it goes. No, it's just, listen, it was a fun game. And you should enjoy it. In fact, I enjoyed thoroughly sitting down and watching it because I know that there's nothing really at stake, and that's what's fun. Now, for those seniors on those teams, yeah, there was something at stake. For Indiana, there was probably way more at stake than Tennessee because they haven't won a bowl game since 1991, and it means a lot more to their program. Tennessee should not be celebrating like they've won the championship when they go 8-5. That's not what Tennessee does. They compete for national championships, okay? I know there's a build process under Jeremy Pruitt, and there's been a great build this year. And that is why you should be optimistic. Mm-hmm. There was a great season-long build after a 1-4 start, an atrocious beginning, and a bad season last year. You came back and you won 5 straight in the regular season. You won 5 games in the SEC. A lot of really good, young, talented freshmen and sophomore class players developed into what appear to be really good athletes on this football team. There are so many reasons to be optimistic about Tennessee football heading into next season. One of them is not that you happen to recover an onside kick and do something that 471 teams previously mm-hmm. could not accomplish. And now I'm just repeating last segment because, I don't want the message to be lost, which is you should be very optimistic about Tennessee football. Last night should not be near the top of the list of reasons why.
No, it shouldn't. You should be optimistic because this team, minus the bowl game, this team won, you know, 5 of the last 6 games of the season. You should be optimistic because it seems like they had turned things around. You should be optimistic because these young players start to get experience and they start to play better. You should be optimistic that the quarterback finally somehow got it through his head that
he can't
take over games, and that he finally started to play within the system and he started to play better, minus the bowl game. You should have saw the bowl game coming. It had so many weeks off and it's like starting over again. Then it didn't have Juwan Jennings for a half. So you should have saw all of this coming, but you should take joy in the fact that how the team finished the regular season, not necessarily the bowl game. And then you should, you know, briefly for a quick second, you know, look forward to what they're going to have. You should look forward to their season and their schedule next year, because if it all kind of sort of plays out the way you think it should play out based upon their schedule, based upon the teams that they play and the programs, where those programs are at this particular time and how they build, you know, how they have to build the program. And they're playing teams that have new coaches. They're playing 2 teams, I believe, Missouri and Arkansas, that are going to have new coaches. So you should feel optimistic that this team has the potential to win 8 games next year in the regular season.
And South Carolina and Vanderbilt both – on the hot seat.
Exactly.
Now they have to play Oklahoma in the non-conference, mm-hmm. so their non-conference will get more difficult. So 8-4 is still very much a possibility. But if you can win another game in the bowl game, you get to 9-4, and then you feel like you've there's progress. There very much could be progress next year. But last night had nothing to do with
it. No, not at all.
I just am trying to be a realist here. I'm not trying to poo-poo a victory. Celebrate the victory. Have fun. I hope everybody. Keese was out last night. No, it was Marquise. Marquise was out last night, and he was in and around some Tennessee people losing their minds at the bowl game. And if you want to do that, have fun.
But I was on the other side of the bar. I'm like, man, did somebody like win an actual football game, or is it just the Citrus Bowl?
And we're not trying to. It's not even the Citrus Bowl. It's
the Tex. Not
citrus. You can't spell UT without citrus.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Because like Alabama fans got that, and I'm kind of in your boat of like you have to be careful what you say. Because Vols fans take it a certain kind of way. Yeah. I'm the same way with Alabama. It was just like, I don't think winning the Citrus Bowl meant anything. Like, it's just, you won the Citrus Bowl against a team. Why is that?
What would you like to be competing for?
A national championship.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's what Tennessee fans should be wanting to compete for.
So I just don't care. So it's just like, it's the Citrus Bowl. And if you beat Jim Harbaugh, cool, that's a bonus.
Now,
like, whatever.
Now, the last 15 years have been slightly different for Tennessee than they have been for Alabama. So I understand their state of minds are very different right now, and I acknowledge that, and any victory is a victory that you celebrate for Tennessee football, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. What I am cautioning people is that this expectation, like, if they are a preseason top 20 team, that makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. They're not there yet. Mm-hmm. 2 years from now, with another recruiting class, I think this team could be very dangerous, could challenge Georgia or Florida. I don't think they are yet there to challenge Georgia and Florida in the East. Doesn't mean they can't win one of those games next year. They can. But can they go 7-1 in the SEC while having to play Alabama? It doesn't feel like that's there yet, but it doesn't mean it's not coming. It feels like it's coming. It just is going to be at least 2 years down the road, for me at least.
I think they're a top 25 team. You know, I think they are, if you're looking at what they have, what they're getting in their freshmen, I think they are hovering around the third best team in the East behind Georgia and Florida.
I think that's fair. But not based on what I saw last night.
Yeah, that's totally different.
They really weren't all that good last night, frankly.
No, they were not.
3.9 yards a carry on the ground. Jared Garantano wasn't all that great throwing the football.
But, I mean, you should have saw. You got to understand, with a team like the Vols, a team that is still building, that is playing off of momentum and emotion, you can't have this long layover and then go out there and play. I think that's a team that needed to play. If they're going to play a bowl game, it needed to be the next following week to play the bowl game.
Oh, by the way,
and they would have got, you know, the results from each player would have been a little bit different.
Oh, by the way, against Indiana's backup quarterback, for the record. Now, I know he's a starter-level quarterback. Patrick Ramsey and Michael Penix didn't play. But, Indiana hadn't won a bowl game since 1991. They wanted that game more. I told you guys yesterday, don't take too much and take the game too seriously. Just enjoy it for what it is. Don't overreact to what happens, because I thought Indiana was going to win. And, frankly, Indiana was the better team for 55 minutes of the game. But, again, that's not necessarily – there's not necessarily a true evaluation of either football team in a bowl game situation. So, Tennessee fans, celebrate last night. You absolutely should. You 100% should have fun and celebrate that game. And it means a lot to the program to have six straight wins and all that good stuff. But don't use last night as a reason to feel so great about your program. It's a sign that Jeremy Pruitt maybe can rally the troops, I guess. But, like, again, teams were 0 for 471 in those situations. So they defied all logic and odds last night with what they accomplished, which is something to be celebrated and to have fun with. Tua Tagovailoa is making a decision, and I'm going to bring this back to the Titans real quickly here, because Alex Leatherwood, a massive offensive tackle, decided to come back to Alabama yesterday. I thought for sure he would be a target for the Tennessee Titans at around 22, where they're picking in the NFL draft, 22-ish, somewhere in there. I thought Alex Leatherwood would be a fantastic mid to late first round draft pick. He is now going back to Alabama. Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback, will decide on Monday. And I believe Greg McElroy during the Citrus Bowl said he believes Tua will come back to the SEC and to Alabama. So shall see on Monday what Tua Tagovailoa decides to do.
And people are thinking that he's sending like cryptic messages on Instagram by he's taking pictures from the Citrus Bowl. And people are like, oh, see, he loves Alabama so much, he's posting pictures from the Citrus Bowl, which was this week.
You mean so he was at his team's football game?
Yeah, so he's posting pictures. Yeah. And so people try to use cryptic tweets like, yeah, he's definitely coming back. No, I think he just wants those likes, dog.
Yeah,
because Citrus Bowl didn't happen unless he put it on there.
Maybe he's just a kid under 25 who posts things on social media.
Yeah. If it's not on a gram, it didn't happen.
So Citrus Bowl didn't happen.
Yeah.
Josh Ward going to join us. He'll give us some perspective on this bowl game, and we'll ask him about Tua as well. And then from then on, folks, we're talking Titans, baby. It's Titans-Patriots for most of the show today, so saddle up, boys. We got a playoff game to
discuss.
We got a playoff game to discuss. It's going to be a loose show. I can already tell it's going to be a loose show. Happy Friday, everybody. Josh Ward when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Patriots-Titans coming up, so we've got about, like, you know, 14 more segments to go of Patriots and Titans. So we'll get to the NFL playoff game here coming up momentarily. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Josh Ward from WNML joining us here. Of course, WNML in Knoxville. The Tennessee Vols win last night 23-22. And I'm already catching a lot of heat on Twitter, Josh. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you a very leading question, which is, there are many, many, many reasons to be optimistic about the future of Tennessee football and 2020 season coming up. Of those list of reasons, is last night's onside kick and win, like, is it number, like, 38, or is it, like, number 58 on the list of reasons to be excited about football next year in Tennessee?
Yeah, I think last night's win is exciting in the moment. You and I have talked about bowl games and the big picture aspect of the program, and I think we see a lot of things similarly. I don't think there's any reason to take away from last night's excitement. Tennessee fans with the comeback and the senior class going out with a win is really nice and really good for Tennessee, and obviously winning is preferred over losing. I think we all agree on that. I don't think that a bowl game result really says much of anything about what will happen in the future. It's what do you do next? And Tennessee can absolutely go out on the recruiting trail and say, hey, we finished with six straight wins. We're a team and a program that fights, and there are things for young players to try to build on. But if Ramsey makes one more play, or if Justice hits a field goal or an extra point maybe that would have given them a chance later on in the game, does that change anything about what Tennessee could do in the future? I would still say no. So that would be the reason, is that switch the result, and I don't think that changes what Tennessee could do in the future. It's how does the program develop? Do you continue to get better up front? Do you continue to recruit at a higher level? Those are the things that are going to matter.
Yeah, because I believe, Josh, had the Vols lost this game, I don't think Vol fans would have, you know, thrown the baby out with the bathwater and say, oh, we're done. Our 2020 season is just a wrap. We might as well call it in. We're not going to be any better than a six-win team. I don't think they would have thought that. But I think they should take solace in, you know, this team finished on a high note minus the bowl game. They won five of the last six, I believe, in the regular season. I think that's what they should look at rather than looking at how the bowl game ended. Personally, how do you think this program is put together, and how do you think they are going to take advantage of what happened during the regular season moving forward? They got a lot of pieces coming back, young pieces coming back. Do you think this is a team that now has their sights set on something even higher than what they had this season?
Well, I do think that's the case over the next couple of years. I think that Tennessee has positioned itself where it really should have realistically hoped to be or expected to be at the end of this season. And in September, we know how things went, and Tennessee was not where it wanted to be. But to finish 5-3 in the SEC, to get wins against the middle of the pack to the bottom side of the SEC East, essentially the schools that aren't Florida and Georgia, that was really important. Now can Tennessee be competitive with those programs? Because they're clearly ahead of Tennessee, and they're recruiting at a higher level. That's clear with Georgia. Florida, I think the gap is smaller there, but still Florida appears to have the edge right now on the recruiting trail, and they already have a roster advantage. And to me, one of the big questions will be who does step up in a leadership position, what happens at quarterback moving forward as well. The senior class is not a big one, but it really did make a big impact on how this season was able to turn around. Now you have to replace Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Daniel Batuli, Daryl Taylor, Nigel Warrior, the names that have just been repeated over and over again. They were so important. So do you have enough players that can step up in those kinds of roles as expectations will now rise as well?
Josh Ward joining us here, WNML. And the quarterback situation, Jared Garantano benched yesterday for one series. And, of course, immediately Twitter exploded with the future of the program and this and that and people overreacting, and I get it. But he was still clearly statistically the best player at his position this year. He went through a lot of adversity, some of his own doing, of course. And unless Harrison Bailey is just Bo Nix good, or Brian Maurer gets into the weight room and is all of a sudden a significantly different player in the offseason, it feels like this is Jared Garantano's team next year, and he is going to have to be better, but I just don't see how, you know, a bad couple of series in a bowl game against Indiana is all of a sudden going to change 3 years' worth of work under, you know, a varying different collection of coaching staffs.
Yeah, there is quite the dynamic that has been at play for a while now with Tennessee's fan base and Jared Garantano, because it is very apparent that a lot of Tennessee fans are ready to move on from Garantano. But one reminder that I continue to offer is that one person I know is not ready to move on from Jared Garantano is head coach Jeremy Pruitt. He really wants Jared Garantano back, and he and the coaches have made that clear. And yeah, I have found it funny that while fans have said, "We can't play Garantano. He's got to take him off the field." We know what happened in the Alabama game, and since then, I think fans have continued to bring it back up, even while Tennessee was winning. Tennessee has not lost since then, and Garantano's been the quarterback since then for the most part. But remember, Juwan Jennings was going to Tennessee's head coach saying, "Garantano is our best quarterback. He gives us the best chance to win." So while fans have said, "Get number two off the field," Juwan Jennings, their favorite player, said, "Put him on the field." And that's not to say that Harrison Bailey can't come in and win the job. I do think that there should be competition for that position. But right now, Jared Garantano is the best quarterback that Tennessee has, and he will be the most experienced and the most prepared guy in the spring when Bailey is here to compete. This year will be different than this past season. There won't be Jeremy Pruitt saying we have one clear starter, and that's Jared Garantano. They're going to make it more of an open competition, and it should be that way. But the quarterback room is just worse if Garantano leaves, and it's better with him there. And Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney have made that clear to Jared Garantano.
Now, is there any sense on what Trey Smith is going to do? Will he stay for another year? Will he opt to enter into the NFL draft? And the receiver room, will that be the biggest question mark next year? Heading into next season, because they lose, obviously, Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway.
With Trey Smith, he said after the game last night that he has not made a decision, that he's going to sit down with his family and then make that decision. The expectation, I think, is that he goes, and not that he needs my advice. That would be what I would tell him to do. And he should do what he wants to, but considering what he's had to overcome from a health standpoint to be able to play football, he's such a talented football player, and you never know how long you have to play, and that's especially the case with Trey. I would say go make money, and he can make a lot of money playing football, and he is the best example probably that you can find of somebody giving his all for Tennessee. So he's somebody that I know fans do appreciate and should appreciate, but the expectation, I think, is that he were to go. Obviously, if he were to decide to stay in college, that would be huge for Tennessee's offensive line. It's just that all indications have been that he will now take his shot at the NFL. And, yeah, it might be the biggest question at wide receiver heading into this year because of what you have to replace, not only from a talent standpoint, but the emotional edge that you get with Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway's big playability, and he's really appreciated and respected as well. They do have Josh Palmer coming back. They have Ramel Keaton, who made a couple of plays in the first quarter. He's a former All-American, high school All-American, a guy that heading into his sophomore year will have a chance to make a jump. D'Angelo Gibbs is a transfer from Georgia who set out, and they have some speed coming in the class. So probably one of the biggest questions. They do have some options to replace those guys, but it is a lot to replace.
Josh, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Enjoy your holiday weekend with the playoffs. I'm sure East Tennessee is paying a little bit of attention to what's going to take place on Saturday night.
Yeah, big buildup with the Titans and Patriots. And a lot of people in East Tennessee, you may be aware, that don't pull for the Patriots, which actually I think is the case across the country. So, yeah, a lot of Tennessee Titans fans even more so this weekend in Knoxville and East Tennessee.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate it, bud.
You got it. Thank you.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville, of course. So, wrapping up, just putting a bow on the Tennessee Volunteer season, which, again, 3.5 months ago, if you'd have told us this team was going to be 8-5, I think we would have all laughed you out of the room. So I think a wonderful job by Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff and the players to get them to where they are and finishing the year at 8-5. Tremendous comeback last night in the final 5 minutes of the game. Completely improbable. Mm-hmm. Great victory. Celebrate it all. But really be excited about your program because foundationally it is a more stable and more talented group of young players that are building in the right direction, and it appears that the coaching staff might know what it's doing, and that are those are reasons to be excited about Tennessee football moving forward. All right, Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots. I got a question for you guys about tomorrow it's about tomorrow, right? Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question to you about one quarter of play, and I want to know if the game can be decided in one quarter of play. I want to ask you and see what you think about it, Derek. We'll do that when we come back as we get started with our Titans and Patriots preview here on a Football Friday, Playoff Football Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com. That doesn't put you in a good mood. I don't know what will.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It's Friday. Other people's pats.
Uh-huh.
So the New England Patriots.
Other people's Patriots.
The New England Patriots averaged 7.4 points per game in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Number two in the NFL. Baltimore Ravens, the only team better than them. At home, they average 8.1 points per game in the first quarter. So they're even better at home. That's second in the NFL. Ironically, Detroit actually the best at home. The Tennessee Titans, however, average 4.3 points per game in the first quarter. That's almost half. It's basically half as good as the New England Patriots. That makes them 17th in the NFL. However, on the road, the Tennessee Titans, 4.8 points per game in the first quarter. Here's my question. So I was thinking about the Clemson-Ohio State game, of course, because it all goes back to college football for me. Mm-hmm. So Clemson, as I'm watching this Clemson game play out against Ohio State on the semifinal game in the Fiesta Bowl, what did we talk about with Ohio State? They kept driving the football. They kept getting into the red zone. They kept getting into scoring territory, and they kept coming away with field goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't finish the job in the red zone. The Titans right now are the best team in the red zone since Ryan Tannehill took over by a large, large, large margin. But in the first quarter, they're not very good. They're not a very good first half team offensively. They are one of the best second half teams in the NFL. My concern about tomorrow night is the Patriots, one of the best first quarter teams in the entire NFL, and the Titans, not. Can they keep it? Because, again, that Clemson game was 16-0 when they finally scored to make it a 16-7 game, and it kind of kept – they just hung around, right? Clemson hung around. Mm-hmm. They withstood the barrage, and then they came back and got a lucky targeting call or got a targeting call and bounced back with a touchdown to make the game close, and then they were back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Titans built in a way that if they fall down 14-0 or 13-0 or, you know, whatever, are they built in a way to make the comeback? Or does the first quarter carry as much weight as I'm putting on the first quarter? Do they have to win the first quarter to win the game?
They can't lose it by a large margin, I tell you that. They go down 7-0, 10-0, yeah, they can come back. But I believe if they go down 14-0 and they can't seem to get Derrick Henry rolling early on, I think it's going to be hard for them then to come back, because you got to understand that's what they did against the Houston Texans. They fell early in the game, 14-0, and they couldn't overcome, you know, the fact that they were down early. And what compounds the problem is they're playing against the number one ranked defense in the National Football League. That's like giving the 2000, even though I know, well, statistically, they were on that pace. That's like giving the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, you know, spotting them 14 points
right,
and then say, okay, we're going to come back and win. That's tough sledding. It can be done, but it is tough. And then, oh, by the way, I'm expecting you as I'm coming back to stop that offense. Yes, it hadn't been playing well, but your defense hadn't been playing well either. So you expect to go down 14-0 against the number one ranked defense in the National Football League. And oh, by the way, your defense isn't playing well either. That would be a tall task, I think, for the Tennessee Titans. So they can't afford – to get down, you know, two touchdowns early in that game, especially playing in Gillette. Now, if they get, you know, go down two touchdowns and they're here in Nashville, I feel a little bit better about them coming back and potentially winning a game. But if they go down 14-0 in Gillette with that experience on that team, with that head coach and that crowd, it's going to be very difficult. Because what I envision is them then pressing, them then saying, we got to throw the football. We got to, you know, put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands and see what he can do. And that, no.
Yeah, and
you ain't throwing the ball 30 times and 30 plus times and winning the game,
yeah,
with Ryan.
Yeah, and is, again, doesn't set up well for their offensive philosophy.
Absolutely.
To take over. Now, in Ryan Tannehill's three losses, so let's look at the three losses. The Texans jumped out to a 14-0 lead.
Mm-hmm.
In the loss to the Panthers, they were down 17-0 at halftime. Mm-hmm. Now against the Saints, they came out and scored twice quickly and were up 14-0. So we've got evidence that the Titans can start hot and still figure out a way to lose the game. But that's mm-hmm. also Drew Brees and one of the best teams in the NFL, which the Patriots, you probably put them in that category. Mm-hmm. So we've seen it go both ways in losses. They also fell down, I think, 7-0 to the Raiders and then came back
mm-hmm.
And won that game. You just can't continually lose first quarters. Weren't they down 17-7? You know, in the third quarter against the Colts, like, so they were down at halftime of the against the Colts game, and they came back and figured out a way to win that one. You just can't survive in the postseason falling behind by two scores consistently. And so I think that's a concern for me, is that New England has been so good. It is the quarter they score the most touchdowns. They scored 14 touchdowns, I think, in the first quarter. The third quarter, they're also very good. We know Bill Belichick makes great adjustments. So you need to be ready to go out of the gate. And to me, what it says is, like Clemson, bend but don't break defense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make any huge mistakes on offense. If you can do that and keep it to 7-0, 3-0, 6-0, 10-0, you know, and as long as you're still in the game by halftime, I think that the Titans can win the whole thing. Like, I think the Titans can win the game. It's about withstanding the initial barrage for me. That's what I'm worried about. It's mm-hmm. just watching Tom Brady go on a 14-play, you know, 7 completions to Julian Edelman
mm-hmm.
on the first drive, and all of a sudden they're down 7-0, and the whole thing feels differently after 6 minutes.
Yeah,
that's what concerns me.
If they can keep this game, which I believe they can do, but if they can keep this game close, 3 points, 6 points, heading into halftime, I think they have the New England Patriots right where they want them, because then they get to stick to what they want to do, and that's run the football. I know they want to be, hey, listen, if we're not up, let's be, you know, no more than 3 points behind, no more than 6 points behind. If we do that against them in their building after taking their very best punch possibly, then now we're in a position to come out at halftime and then do what we do best in the second half. And that's where people down, run Derrick Henry and play action pass and hit those big plays. So I feel better about the second scenario if they can keep this thing close. Now, if they don't, then listen, it's playoffs. They have an uphill battle, and that doesn't look well on the Tennessee Titans having to come back, because I don't think their style of play lends them to coming back down 14 points and having to win a game. Now, can it happen? Absolutely, it can happen. Do they have the offense that can do it? Absolutely, they have the offense that can do it. But their defense isn't playing well, and they're running up against the number one ranked defense in the National Football League. But people are going to look at, well, look at Miami and look what they did to them. New England has never, historically, the last couple of, you know, years, Miami's been a dumpster fire. And they've always managed at least once during a season, somehow, some way, to play Miami, mean to play New England tough. They've managed to play them tough somehow, some way.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
And they won. They've won, what, two out of the last, what, 4 or 5 games Miami has?
Well, they won
they
on
had
the Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, and then they won at the end of the season this year.
Yeah, so they've won 2 out of 3. They've also been very weirdly good against them at home. And again, go back to last year's game here in Nissan Stadium. What was one of the main reasons that they ended up winning that game 34-10? The hot start.
Mm-hmm.
Khalif Raymond had Darius Jennings had a huge kickoff return. They went right down the field, 7 plays, 40 yards, touchdown. Then, of course, they caused a fumble on James White on the first play, I think the Patriots have covered it. They kicked a field goal, but then the Titans got the ball back and went 9 plays, 78 yards, touchdown. And they were up 14-3 after three possessions because the Titans got off to such a hot start and then allowed the interior of their offensive line to pressure Brady. And it got them into a situation. So I think a hot start, while it's not required for Tennessee to win, they cannot allow the Patriots to do what they have done all season, which is dominate the first quarter. They've got to come out of the first quarter, I think, 0-0, 3-0, 6-0, 6-3, you know, whatever. And oh, by the way, this is going to be a theme throughout every segment of the show. The field goal kicker, the new guy, has not been asked to do his job yet. He has not attempted a field goal. And oh, by the way, when's the last time you can think of an NFL team that went into the playoffs with a kicker that had not made an attempt all season long?
Has it ever happened?
I mean, I'm sure, but like they will go into a playoff game with their kicker having never tried a field goal this year. It may not mean anything. He might make 6 for 6, right? Like, he may be great. It's just an odd statistic. So we shall see. I was doing a lot of reading from all the Boston people. And all the Boston blogs and all the Boston folks from yesterday.
Are they panicking? Is the world ending?
It's ridiculous how much they're writing about Tom Brady. Marquise was telling me during the press conference, they're like, three different people asked Tom Brady if this was his last game at Gillette Stadium. It's like,
and then the follow-up question was, is this your last game as a Patriot? I'm just like, okay. That's basically the same question. Well, kind of the same question. I was like, come on, man.
Mike Petraglia is going to join us coming up in the Petraglia in the final hour, so we'll go behind enemy lines there. So, but again, a lot of the conversation is about stopping Derrick Henry from their perspective and the hot start in the first quarter. And then, of course, all of it's focused on the future of Tom Brady and Belichick and all this other stuff. So maybe there's a distraction element there. I know they can play it as a disrespect card like we talked about yesterday, but maybe there's a distraction element there that maybe plays in the Titans' favor. All right, we've got questions about Ryan Tannehill. We're going to go back and revisit our playoff predictions from earlier in the year, see how well we did, and laugh at ourselves a little bit. Also, individual matchups coming up next hour as well. The games within the game, who do you put on Julian Edelman? Can Jayon Brown cover James White? Can A.J. Brown and Corey Davis win individual matchups on the outside? We got a lot of games within the game to discuss as well next hour. But when we come back, a D-Mace dissection right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.